Imagine the biggest company on earth suddenly realizing that the product their own engineers love the most is, well, the very product they have to kill.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild scenario.
It really is. So welcome to the deep dive. Usually, when we talk about these major shifts in the tech industry, you expect a certain level of choreography.
Right, a neat little timeline.
Exactly. A company announces a product, the market reacts, and we all just sort of adjust our habits. But if you look at the raw feed from May 15th, 2026, that neat, orderly timeline is just completely shredded.
Oh, absolutely shredded.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, it's the absolute definition of corporate tectonic plates violently crashing together.
Right.
We're looking at a landscape that's just bursting at the seams with simultaneous innovation and, well, conflict.
And that is exactly our mission today. We've got this massive stack of reporting from the Tech and Morning newsletter, and we are not just going to, read you the headlines.
No, that would be boring.
Right. We want to untangle this massive, chaotic web of tech giant rivalries. So we're talking OpenAI, Apple, Microsoft, Meta, Google,
Big ones.
all the heavy hitters. We need to understand how the tools you use to work, to communicate, and literally interact with the digital world are fundamentally shifting. And I mean, May 15th is just the perfect lens for this.
Because of the sheer whiplash of the news cycle on that specific day,
Right.
on this single day, you have OpenAI simultaneously releasing these revolutionary mobile features while threatening to sue the biggest company on Earth. And forcing emergency security updates globally.
It's crazy.
It's a day of incredible breakthroughs and honestly, really messy breakdowns.
So let's start with the breakthroughs. We are seeing a massive shift in how software creation actually happens. And this starts with OpenAI dropping their newest product update.
Yeah, this was huge.
They brought Codex, which, for context, is powered by their GPT 5.5 model, directly into the ChatGPT mobile app.
Right, across all platforms.
Yeah, iOS, iPad, Android, and it's available on all plans from the free tier all the way up to Team. But reading through these notes, the most crucial detail here is that they do not expect you to, like, suddenly start thumb typing complex Python code on your 6-inch phone screen.
Oh, no. That would be an absolute nightmare for any
It's
developer.
all a nightmare.
Yeah, it's important to understand that the phone is not becoming a standalone coding environment here. It's essentially acting as a highly sophisticated remote control for your main workspace.
Okay, let's unpack this because the mechanics here are fascinating. And the best way I can visualize the setup is think of a high-end restaurant.
Okay, I like this.
It's like you have this tireless junior sous chef back in the main kitchen doing all the heavy prep work, chopping all the vegetables while you are, I don't know, riding the subway home.
Right.
You aren't chopping the onions yourself on the train. You are just texting them to start the reduction or add more
Their
salt.
salt, exactly.
The AI handles the actual execution. You are just monitoring, approving, and redirecting from wherever you happen to be.
That is a brilliant way to frame it. What you're describing there is what the industry is now calling the async developer workflow.
Async, meaning asynchronous.
Exactly. Asynchronous, meaning you aren't tied to that real-time, line-by-line typing process anymore. And the underlying mechanism of how this operates is what makes it such a huge paradigm shift.
Because it's running remotely.
Right. Codex can run these complex, hours-long programming tasks autonomously on a heavy computing environment, like a Mac Mini sitting on your desk at home, or a company dev box, or even a remote cloud server.
So the heavy lifting is happening miles away, but then how does the phone actually stay in the loop without, melting in your hand or crashing?
Well, the mobile app is essentially just a lightweight viewer. It pulls the live context from that remote server and just feeds it to you. So it shows you the diffs.
Which is developer shorthand for differences, right?
Yes, exactly. It's basically a visual highlight of exactly what lines of code the AI just added and deleted, and it also streams the terminal outputs.
And for those who don't code, what's a terminal output?
It's just a raw text-based response the computer spits back when it runs a command. So, say the AI writes a script and hits an error.
Okay.
It pings your phone with the terminal output showing that error, and you can just tap a button to say, try rewriting the function this way.
Wow. That completely changes the lifestyle of a software engineer. It means you are never truly away from your code base.
Never.
But strategically, I'm looking at this and thinking, OpenAI isn't just doing this to be nice to developers. This feels like a highly aggressive countermaneuver to Anthropic.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because Anthropic has been seeing this massive surge in the AI coding space lately with their own tools. So OpenAI is trying to prove that their ecosystem is just more integrated into a developer's actual day-to-day life.
They are absolutely fighting for the loyalty of the individual developer, but that actually brings us to a fascinating threshold.
What's that?
Well, what works for an individual developer sitting on the subway doesn't always scale to the realities of a massive corporation.
Right. So let's zoom out to that massive enterprise-level scale, because this is where we see that counterintuitive reality I mentioned at the beginning of the deep dive.
The Microsoft situation.
Exactly. What happens when an AI tool becomes almost too good for its own good? You run into this massive brick wall of corporate strategy. Let's look at what's happening inside Microsoft right now.
It's a huge shakeup.
They are actually canceling most of their internal Claude code licenses for thousands of developers in their experiences and devices division. They are actively pushing their own engineers to drop Anthropic's tool and use Microsoft's own GitHub Copilot CLI instead.
And we have to define what that actually means for their workflow. Moving to Copilot CLI means these engineers are being pushed to work directly in the command line interface.
CLI.
Right. That's the raw text-based nervous system of the computer. It bypasses all the nice graphical menus to give direct, really deep access to the system. Now, Microsoft opened up Claude Code to their internal teams back in December 2025 as an experiment.
Just to test the waters?
Yeah. But over 6 months, it became deeply embedded into those daily command line workflows.
Deeply embedded and highly rated. This is the part that just blows my mind. Here's where it gets really interesting. According to the internal data leaked in the newsletter, Claude Code had a 5-star internal popularity rating among Microsoft engineers.
5 stars.
5 stars. The engineers actually doing the work loved it. Meanwhile, Copilot, their own in-house tool, only had a moderate 3-star rating.
Yeah, moderate is being polite.
But Copilot wins. In this internal memo from a Microsoft executive named Jaha, the rationale was that they needed a product they could shape directly from Microsoft's own repositories, their security expectations, and their specific engineering needs.
So they chose control.
Exactly. Copilot stays because it's cheaper and they have total control over it. But I have to push back here. Isn't Microsoft just shooting its own developers in the foot just to protect their corporate ego? I mean, why degrade your team's toolkit just because the better tool has a competitor's logo on it?
What's fascinating here is a concept we can call the paradox of success.
The paradox of success. Okay.
In the enterprise software world, adoption of third-party tools is incredibly fragile. When a competitor's tool, in this case, Anthropic's Claude Code, becomes deeply and intimately embedded into your core engineering workflows, it stops being just a helpful tool.
It becomes what?
It becomes a massive security and strategic liability.
Oh, because Claude is operating deep inside the command line, literally touching proprietary Microsoft source code.
Precisely. It's a massive data exfiltration risk and an intellectual property risk.
Right.
Platform companies like Microsoft will always choose code sovereignty, data security, and strategic alignment over a superior third-party application.
They have to protect the crown jewels.
Right. If you rely on a competitor's AI to build your foundational products, you are entirely at their mercy regarding data privacy and future pricing. So the paradox here is that Claude Code was removed specifically because it was so successful.
Wow.
If it had been mediocre, Microsoft might have just let it linger as a niche option.
Yeah.
Its excellence is exactly what made it a threat to Microsoft's control.
Its excellence made it a threat. That is a brutal reality check for Anthropic's ambitions in the enterprise space. Because if your product is too good at reading and writing code, the tech giants will just pull up the drawbridge and lock you out.
To protect their IP, yeah. Anthropic needs to figure out how to offer ironclad data security guarantees that make these massive enterprises feel comfortable, or they will just keep hitting this exact ceiling.
So Microsoft is successfully protecting its castle. But what happens when you try to cross someone else's moat?
You usually get wet.
Right. OpenAI is discovering right now just how brutal it is to rely on another giant's ecosystem for your survival. And specifically, I'm talking about Apple's ecosystem.
Oh, the Siri integration deal.
Yes. According to Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, OpenAI is actively exploring legal action against Apple over this integration. They are reportedly working with an outside firm on options, potentially even drafting a formal breach of contract notice.
Which is a massive escalation.
It is. And the backstory to this is just wild. OpenAI apparently expected this partnership to be an absolute iPhone goldmine. They thought they were going to get massive paid subscriber growth and central featured placement on Apple devices.
But the reality of consumer behavior was vastly different from what they projected. Users simply engage with the free tier of ChatGPT through Siri, And they just didn't bother upgrading to the premium plans.
Because from the user's perspective, Siri was already giving them the answer. They didn't need to go deeper into OpenAI's paid ecosystem to get what they wanted.
Right. There was no friction forcing them to upgrade.
So what does this all mean? It sounds to me like OpenAI thought they were getting a flagship storefront right on Fifth Avenue, but Apple essentially tucked a free vending machine in a dark alleyway behind the building.
That captures the dynamic perfectly. A free vending machine in the alleyway. And you have to look at the incentives here. Apple had zero incentive to push users toward OpenAI's paid plans because Apple wasn't getting a revenue share from those subscriptions.
Oh, of course.
They had the benefit of OpenAI's intelligence powering Siri, making Siri actually smart for once without having to do the hard sales pitch for OpenAI's premium tiers.
But looking at these notes, I mean, is it really a smart move for OpenAI to sue the biggest company on earth? Isn't that just suicidal for their consumer strategy? Apple controls the hardware. Apple's legal team is famously terrifying.
They are formidable, yes.
I have to imagine this isn't about actually dragging Apple into a courtroom for a multi-year battle, right? It has to be more of a calculated play for leverage.
You're hitting on the fundamental strategy here. It is an incredibly risky move, but the legal threat is almost certainly a play for leverage to force a renegotiation. Because a full, scorched-earth lawsuit would be an immense distraction and cost an absolute fortune.
And OpenAI has other things to worry about.
Exactly.
Okay.
But OpenAI is cornered. This whole situation highlights the core distribution dilemma in the AI era.
Which is?
Access to users does not equal revenue from users. Apple gave OpenAI access to hundreds of millions of iPhones.
Mm.
But that access doesn't pay the massive server bills required to actually run these models.
So they are bleeding cash, processing free queries. But if they push Apple too hard with this legal threat, what happens?
That's the ultimate risk here.
Mm-hmm.
If Apple just decides, you know what, we're dropping you entirely.
Right, they just walk away.
Yeah, and Apple builds its own native large language model directly into Siri. If that happens, OpenAI loses its consumer distribution strategy entirely. They are suddenly locked out of the most lucrative hardware ecosystem on the planet.
It's a high-stakes gamble, for sure. So OpenAI is out there playing offense, throwing legal threats at Apple's fortress. But back at their own home base, they have just had to admit that someone slipped right past their own defenses.
Yeah, the pivot from aggressive expansion to defensive reality here is quite sharp.
Very sharp. So OpenAI has disclosed a security breach involving the ChatGPT Mac desktop app. Hackers compromised two employee devices. And because of this, OpenAI has issued a firm mandatory update deadline for every single Mac desktop app user globally.
By June 12, 2026.
Exactly, June 12. Now, the sources make it very clear to state the PR line here. OpenAI says no user data was accessed, production systems were not affected, and zero intellectual property was stolen.
They were being extremely vocal about what wasn't taken.
Right, which naturally makes me a little skeptical. Wait, if no user records were compromised and no IP was stolen, why force a hard, mandatory update deadline for millions of Mac users?
Is OpenAI downplaying the severity of this to save face during what is clearly an already brutal month for them?
It's a very fair question to ask. If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are in an era of unprecedented regulatory scrutiny right now. The lawmakers in the EU and the US are watching AI companies like hawks.
Looking for any slip-up? Exactly. In that environment, proactive disclosure of breaches, even ones that are seemingly contained, is the new standard for building trust. You have to tell the public before a third-party security researcher finds it and tweets about it.
Right. Get ahead of the story so you can control the narrative.
Yes. However, your instinct about the severity is probably spot on. The fact that there is a strict, mandatory June 12 deadline proves that the underlying vulnerability in that Mac app was highly critical.
Because you don't force an update for a minor bug.
Exactly. The hackers might only have hit two employee devices, but the backdoor they found, or the mechanism they used to exploit the software, must have been severe enough that OpenAI cannot risk a single user remaining on the old software version.
Wow.
It caps off a uniquely chaotic month for OpenAI's leadership. I mean, alongside the closing arguments and the Musk trial and the Apple drama and now this global security patch, it is a real crucible moment for them.
Absolutely chaotic. And notice, up to this point, everything we've discussed today, the Mac apps, the iPhones, the mobile developer environments, it all relies on screens.
Right. Visual interface.
It's all about what we're visually looking at and physically typing on. Which brings us to perhaps the most mind-bending part of the Tekken Morning Report. We are moving from software wars on screens to hardware that skips the screen entirely.
The post-screen future.
Exactly. Meta has just rolled out neural handwriting for all users of its $799 Ray-Ban Display smart glasses, and it natively supports WhatsApp, Messenger, Instagram.
All the big Meta platforms.
Yeah, and it does this using the Meta Neural Band, which you wear on your wrist. It reads electromyography or EMG signals, meaning you can write messages in the air or just rest your hand on your leg and write without touching a single screen or keyboard.
The technological mechanism here is what makes this a genuine breakthrough in human-computer interaction. We have to look at how EMG actually works.
Right. How does it know what I'm typing if I'm not touching anything?
Well, when you decide to move your fingers to type a word, your brain sends an electrical impulse down your spinal cord, through your arm, and into your hand to instruct the muscles to contract.
So the band isn't tracking the physical movement of the fingers in space. Like a camera would.
Exactly the opposite. Yep. The electromyography sensors on the wristband are intercepting that neurological electrical spike as it travels through your arm before the physical keystroke even really happens.
Oh, wow.
It reads your intent to move.
This EMG band reading muscle signals, it's like your brain is skipping the keyboard middleman and whispering directly to the machine.
That's a great way to put it.
I mean, the accessibility implications for people with limited hand mobility or degenerative motor conditions are just astounding. They can communicate seamlessly just by attempting the subtle muscle movements.
It's incredible tech. And strategically, Meta has positioned this perfectly. At $799, with a form factor that just looked like a normal stylish pair of glasses, Meta currently has the absolute best price-to-capability ratio in the wearables market.
They are actually shipping it, not just making videos about it.
Exactly. They aren't selling a concept. They are shipping a real product that reads neural inputs today, which puts an enormous amount of pressure on their rivals.
Which raises an important question and brings us to Google, because according to the preview in our sources, the Google I.O. 2026 event is happening in just 4 days on May 19th.
Right.
And the stakes for them are astronomical right now. Can Google respond? Google has to prove that their upcoming Android XR glasses can actually match Meta's hardware and this new EMG capability.
Bands just show up.
And simultaneously, they have to prove that their rumored Gemini 2.5 Ultra AI model can actually benchmark against OpenAI's GPT 5.5 that is currently powering that async developer workflow we talked about earlier.
Yeah, Google is fighting a two-front war against the two most aggressive companies in tech. If Google announces Android XR glasses with real neural input at a competitive price, the wearables race is blown wide open.
But if they don't?
Right. If they only show concept videos and prototypes while Meta is shipping actual hardware to consumers, that's a massive strategic vulnerability. The same goes for the AI models. Google has to deliver tangible, ship-ready innovation at this I.O. event, not just promises of future capabilities.
The pressure on them is immense. So let's synthesize the incredible whiplash we've covered in this deep dive.
It did a lot.
It really has. Just looking at the events surrounding this single day, May 15th, 2026, we saw the birth of the asynchronous developer who commands code servers from the subway using their phone.
Right.
We saw the brutal reality of corporate AI gatekeeping as Microsoft realized its own engineers' favorite third-party tool was a security threat. We saw the shattered partnership dreams and distribution dilemmas between OpenAI and Apple.
And the legal threats.
And the legal threats, yeah. And finally, we saw the arrival of wearable tech from Meta that literally intercepts your muscle impulses.
It is a profound amount of technological and strategic change compressed into a very small window of time.
It really is. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a brand new philosophical thread to chew on based on everything we've just discussed regarding data and ecosystems.
Okay, let's hear it.
So we've spent this entire time talking about tech giants fighting for control over software subscriptions, over user distribution, over enterprise tools.
Right, a battle for the data generated within those ecosystems.
Exactly. But as we move into this post-screen future, with tools like Meta's neural bands that read the electrical impulses of your muscles, think about what that actually means for the definition of data itself.
What do you mean?
Well, the EMG band reads the neurological signal before the physical action is completed. So who ultimately owns the data of your physical intentions?
Oh, wow. That completely redefines what we consider a private data point. It's no longer just what you type into a search bar. It's the biological impulse of what you intend to type.
Right. Are we ready for a world where our very impulses, the signals our brains send to our hands before we even move, are monitored, logged, and processed by the exact same mega corporations that are currently warring over your search data and our software subscriptions?
That is a terrifying and fascinating thought.
We started this deep dive talking about how the neat, orderly timeline of tech felt like it was violently shattering. And it seems like the ground is only going to keep shifting beneath us, or in the case of these neural bands, shifting right inside of us.
It's indeed.
We want to warmly thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep observing, keep questioning the digital world around you, and pay close attention to where those tectonic plates are moving next. We'll catch you next time.